you come, share with us, sent out by the Diamond Boulevard Baptist Church in Anchorage through the Association of Baptists for World Evangelism.
Well, good evening. It's good to see you all again. We have been anticipating our time here at Towanda since we set up the meeting, the opportunity to reconnect with some friends, connect with old family friends that I had not met but had the opportunity to meet today, and just enjoyed our time in worship with you this morning, and are grateful for the opportunity to share with you the ministry that God has called us to. I thank Pastor Hauser for inviting us and allowing us to share. Well, as I said, we are the Fry family. My family is right down here, my wife Joanna, and our two boys, Elijah and Calvin. Elijah is the one in the glasses. He is our seven-year-old. He's in second grade. Calvin is our five-year-old and just started kindergarten this year. And so that is our crew, and we've just enjoyed the last few months together as we've been on pre-field, and I've just been a delight to watch our boys grow and be engaged and involved in the ministry. What we'd like to do with our time that we have tonight is allow you to get to know us a little bit, share with you how God has been at work in our lives over the years and directing us and bringing us to this point as missionaries to England. And then we will share with you about the ministry in England, some reasons why England is a mission field, and some of the ways we'll be working there in England with the ABWE team, and then more specifically how we will do that as a family, and then open it up for a time of question and answers. If there is something you would like to ask, this is a great way to communicate with you about the ministry. Well, I grew up in a Christian home to parents who loved the Lord, parents who loved the church. My very first Sunday after I was born, I was in church, actually listening to my grandfather preach, who was my pastor when I was very young and little. But I am so thankful to God for the family that He put me in. My parents, as I said, loved the Lord. Found it important to communicate God's word to us as children in their home each and every day, living before us what it means to be a follower of Christ, but also communicating the gospel to us. And through that, God worked in my life and used my parents specifically in drawing me to Himself. When I was about 6 years old in kindergarten, I was attending a Christian school at the time. And I remember one day sitting there and just going through the Bible lesson again, like my teacher so faithfully did every day. And it was that time that things began to make sense. I understood who I was. I understood who God was. I understood my need for a Savior, the relationship that was broken, and my need for Jesus Christ, and that He was the only way of salvation. And I went up and talked to her, actually, right after our Bible time, and she spent a few minutes with me and said, "You should probably go home and talk to your parents this afternoon about this." And I think it was wise on her part, and just testing me and encouraging me in that. And so I went home that afternoon, and that was the first thing I said as I walked through the doors: "Dad, I want to be a Christian." And so I remember going into my bedroom with him, spending some time, again, in God's Word, just going over what it means to be a follower of Christ. And that day, I became a child of God. A few months later, my grandfather had the opportunity to baptize me. And again, I'm just so thankful how He has worked in my life through my family. Along with my parents specifically, I'm also thankful for the extended family that God put me into. Both of my grandfathers have spent their entire adult lives as Baptist pastors. I have three uncles who are full-time pastoral ministry. My dad has been my pastor since I was 3 years old. So I always tell people that when we got together for Thanksgiving, Christmas, family holidays, things like that, it was more pastors' conferences than anything else, as you sit around the table and we're sharing, you know, who's doing what and in what church, what ministries are going on, who's preaching through what. And it's always been a lot of fun just growing up in that environment. And more than just growing up where I'm always hearing the gospel and spending time in God's word, a family that encouraged me to love and to minister and serve in the church. And for my family growing up, ministry was not something that my dad did for a job. It wasn't something that my parents did, but it was really what defined us as a family. And my parents made sure that we understood what it meant to be a part of the body of Christ. Along with that, I have been blessed to grow up in churches that also invested in their young people and encouraged us in our growth and our knowledge of God's Word and ministry service, and churches that recognize that the young people in the church are not the church of tomorrow, But they are the church of today, and they need to be using and growing in the way that God has gifted them and giving us opportunities to minister and to serve and to take on responsibilities. Most specifically, our home church, Diamond Boulevard Baptist in Anchorage, Alaska, has been a church that has allowed myself as well as my family opportunities to just be a part of the church, to grow, to equip us, to give us opportunities to use our gifts. And we are so thankful for that. I spent about 5 years at our home church with a number of other guys who are pursuing ministry at the time, and all of them are actually in ministry or in seminary right now. And just a time of giving us opportunities to be in the pulpit, teaching classes, being a part of leadership and things. And I am so thankful for my home church, who has not only sent us out, but is behind us and has partnered with us in ministry in Alaska, or in England. At this time, I have my wife come up and share with you her testimony, how God has worked in her life and drawing her to himself, and also how he has worked in our family a little more and bringing us to this point as missionaries to England.
Good evening. Thank you so much for having us. I grew up not too far from here, and it's exciting for me when I'm in a place where people are actually going to know where the town is that I'm from. Some of you may have heard of Gelton, Pennsylvania. It's on Route 6. That's where I grew up. And then I attended BBC, so I've passed this church many, many times. The family that I was born into is slightly different from John's. My dad was the first in his family to come to Christ. And when he married my mom, she was an unbeliever. And at first, things were fine in their marriage. But as time went on, my mom really hardened towards the things of God and the church. By the time I was born, 10 years into their marriage, things were pretty hostile at home. There was a lot of fighting, and my earliest memories of my parents are of their fights. My mom would do things purposefully just to make my dad angry, to make fun of him for his faith. Sent things like just staying out late at night with friends, doing things he wouldn't approve of. On the other spectrum, she at one point as well left our home to join the army, and then halfway through boot camp showed up at home. And so that's what I was born into. It's just very contentious home life. But my dad continued to be faithful in taking myself and my two older sisters to church every Sunday. And one Sunday when I was about 5, my mom decided to come to church with us, which was not normal. She walked to church with us that day, and through the message that day, she surrendered her life to Christ. And the change in her life was so immediate and so drastic that as a little girl, I saw that in her, and I knew that whatever she'd found was real and that I needed it too. So a couple of months after she surrendered her life to Christ, as a baby in Christ herself, she was then able to lead me, her baby, to the Lord. And as a family, we then were able to grow together instead of against each other. And that was really what influenced me over the years, as my parents being faithful in church. I decided I wanted to go to Bible college. I didn't want to go to Bible college for ministry. I wanted to be a teacher in a public school or something like that. And so that's what my goal was. So I went to Baptist Bible College, where I met John. And when I met John, he told me he hated Alaska and he was never going back. And that didn't really work out well for me, because I spent the last 10 years in Alaska, and both our boys were born there. But at the time, that was really what I needed, and God knew I needed that. I grew up in a very small town where everyone I knew was related to me, and I was comfortable there, and I wasn't ever going to be stretched beyond what I was comfortable with. And so God took me from a place that I knew very well to a place where I knew almost no one. And he encouraged me to serve in ways that I was not comfortable with. For instance, I told you I wanted to be a teacher, and I love little kids. And so that's what I wanted to do, is teach little kids. And his mom, who now was my mother-in-law, as the pastor's wife, said to me, "You're going to teach the ladies' Sunday school class next week." And I said, "The ladies' Sunday school class does not color, so I'm not sure what you want me to do." But God, you really showed me that he was going to equip me for whatever he called me to, and I found that I loved it, and there were many areas of service that I loved, and it was through that, for me, that God really showed me that he had ministry for our family. So about 5 years ago, just after Calvin was born, we really knew God was calling us. We just didn't know what it was going to look like or where he wanted us. So we began to pursue things that we thought he had for us that were good things, and the doors kept closing. And he didn't make anything really clear to us until he brought us to a point of complete frustration with our own failed plans. And at that point, when we were ready to say, whatever you have for us, Lord, is when John found this ministry in England. We decided we'd like to try to maybe do a short-term trip to kind of figure out where God was leading us. And it was that week that we decided that we found this ministry in England. And my first response was, well, why would we go to England? What's the need in England? And so as we started researching that, God really broke our hearts for this country that used to be a really bright light for the gospel, and is not, it's not the case anymore. And so as we researched it and talked to our home church, we really decided that God had this for us full time. And as soon as we decided that we were going to go give our lives to this, the doors began to open. So we have a video that we'd like to share with you that really highlights some of the things that we found as we were researching where England is now versus where they used to be. And I hope you enjoy and see kind of what God has used to lead us there. What makes England a mission field? Historically, England has had a great influence on the church. Out of England has come many songwriters and missionaries, theologians and writers, and powerful preachers of the word.
Christianity has defined England's culture for over 1,500 years. However, since the two world wars, England has gone through a rapid succession of worldview changes. This has resulted in a drastic decline of Christianity. The culture has gone from being primarily Christian to overwhelmingly secular. One out of two people claim that they have no religion and that they live secular lives. This new worldview, where man is at the center, is marked by being non-spiritual, seeing faith in God as unimportant, and the church as simply tradition.
Sadly, Christianity in England has adopted numerous cultural ideas, resulting in many Christians having a very nominal faith. In 1910, 85% of England's population claimed to be Christian. However, during the 2011 census, that number dropped to 59%. And in the last 100 years, church attendance has gone from about 95% down to 1.5%. On average, 7 churches close their doors every week. Throughout England, there are many church buildings that are merely a shell of a once vibrant past.
Atheism has risen to represent 1/3 of the population. What is more alarming is that almost 66% of those under the age of 25 believe there is no God. With current trends, atheism will be the largest belief system by the year 2050. Also, religions from around the world are making their home in England. Those who hold to some form of Islam represent 5% of the population. In the UK, 77% of children growing up in a Muslim home will maintain faith in Islam, while only 23% of children from a Christian home will continue in their faith. And more men under the age of 25 will attend a mosque on Friday than men who will attend a Christian church on Sunday. Hindus are quickly growing in England and represent 2.5% of the population. There are also a variety of other religions that have established worshiping communities throughout the country. Missions in England is dynamic, reaching not only a non-spiritual, secular culture, but also engaging cultures and faiths from around the world.
So we have joined the ABWE UK team working throughout the communities of England, where we as a team passionately strive to replant the church. We accomplish this through traditional church planting, where we seek to establish new churches where there's no place to worship. ABWE has been actively working in this ministry since it entered England in 1984 and has helped plant many new churches. One example of this is North Swindon Baptist in the city of Swindon. Within just a few years after North Swindon Church began, they were able to call their own British pastor. And out of this church plant, 2 more churches have been planted with the help of ABWE.
Along with planting, we work in church restoration, where we come alongside struggling churches, working towards a revitalized church marked by growth spiritually and numerically. The team's first restoration was Tyndale Baptist Chapel, located in the city of Bristol. The chapel had several pastors from 1890 until 1923, when their pastor retired. Unable to find a replacement, this church endured 60 years without a pastor to lead them. In 1986, faced with the decision to act or close their doors, they contacted ABWE and a partnership was established with the goal of restoration. By God's grace, this church was revitalized and able to call its own British pastor and continues today to be a light in its community. By working in these ways as a team, we want to see Christianity restored throughout England.
It is our desire to be involved in restoring, equipping, and sending. For people to hear and respond to the gospel and see the church growing through conversion. To see churches where people gather to serve one another and enjoy fellowship.
There is also the need to equip people to carry on the gospel ministry, empowering them to serve in the churches where God has placed them, using the gifts that He has given them, edifying the body.
We also want to see people sent as ministry workers, not only in their own country, but also going around the world. There are four main ways that we accomplish this as a team.
First, through faithfully preaching and teaching the Word. In this, we help people grow in their faith and understanding of God's Word and how to apply it to their daily living.
Secondly, we will help develop ministries in the local church, giving people opportunities to connect with other believers and to have resources and help in their spiritual walk.
Third, there will be active ministry training, giving people opportunities to serve God by serving others.
Fourth, we want to go out with the gospel of Christ into the community. There are so many people who do not know of Jesus, and they desperately need to hear about Him, to hear what He has done for them and see how Scripture is relevant in all generations.
This is why England is a mission field, and these are some ways that we as a team minister to this great country. This once bright light for the gospel is in desperate need of hearing the good news.
So share with you some, what you saw up on the screen, there were some general ways in which our team, there are six team members in England right now, how they are working throughout the country. But I'll share with you some more specific ways as far as how we will be working with that team and with local churches as missionaries there. Preaching and teaching ministry. We understand from Scripture that that ministry, communicating God's Word, is vital for the health of the church. And so we, myself, will be involved with the preaching on Sunday morning, whether we're in a team setting with other missionaries or British pastors, or whether we're working individually with a church. Our passion is to communicate God's Word in the local church, but also extending that outwards to teaching, whether we're talking Sunday schools, Bible studies, opportunities where we have to teach and engage both formally and informally. One of the really exciting ministries for Joanna actually is the fact that England pays its mothers to stay home, those who have children under the age of three. Children actually go to school full-time at the age of three, but for those first 3 years, the government will pay every mother to stay home with their children. And so it has opened up some opportunities to start Bible studies, both for discipleship as well as evangelism with that group of people in England. It has given some great opportunities. So something that Joanna will definitely be involved with in being able to minister to the young mothers throughout the community, whether they be a part of our church, our neighborhoods, and just engaging them with the gospel. So the preaching and teaching ministry we see is very vital. You saw up there that our first church restoration ministry had gone 60 years without a pastor. And I can't imagine what it's like to come week in, year after year, not having consistent Bible teaching. And so one of our desires is to help fill that need and then begin to train people to step in and be able to carry that ministry full time. Another ministry aspect that you saw up there was developing appropriate ministries for the local church that we're working with. And each church has its unique areas and needs. And so we don't have any specific ministry development, ministries that we'll be developing in those churches. But more generally, we have a passion for family and youth ministry. One of the things England has not developed over the years, like we have here in America, is youth ministry, and particularly for teenagers. So basically after around 11 and 12, there is nothing in the church targeted specifically to that age group. And so we want to help to develop family and youth ministry. Some numbers that we've recently come across that were not on the video that really motivate us for this type of ministry, along with the fact that 66% of those under the age of 25 are atheists. That is a startling number to us. It's something that we are seeing the same trajectory here in America, but at a much faster rate there in England. But another interesting statistic that I came across a couple of weeks ago, actually heard this in a missions message at a conference, is that if you are under the age of 30 in England, and you are not a follower of Jesus Christ, there is a 97% chance that you don't know anyone who knows the gospel. 97% chance and not know anyone who can communicate to you the good news of Jesus. And so we recognize that the young people in England are not merely a lost generation, but they are really an unreached generation. And so we really want to reach out with them with the gospel of Jesus Christ. Also, as we look at churches throughout England, the average age of a church member is right almost 70 years old. There are very few people under the age of 30. They actually make up less than 10% of the church membership. And so there's a great need to reach out to young people. I came across an article actually came out last week based on some research that has been done out of England and helps us to realize why family and youth ministry is vital in that country. Almost a quarter of religious parents in England, about 25% of religious parents in England, are not passing on their faith to their children for fear that they will be alienated at school. This survey has revealed, found that one in four were worried that their offspring might be sidelined by friends if they passed on their religious views. One thing that marks the Christian church in England is that parents do not pass on the gospel, do not speak of the gospel to their children. A similar proportion, 26% of parents, religious parents, said that they were concerned that their children may have questions that I could never answer. And so many parents are not passing on their faith because they are afraid their children are going to ask them questions that they could not answer. The greatest concern that parents have, religious parents have in England, is that social media, so Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, YouTube, social media will have more impact on their children's belief than their input. And so they are recognizing that if these outlets are influencing children more than they are, then they are going to remain silent. Something that's very concerning as we think of Christianity in England is that 36% of Christian parents said that they were concerned that their children would not hold the same beliefs as them. So one in three said that they are concerned that their children will not grow up. But what is alarming here is that 69% of parents from other religious groups said that they had concern for their children carrying on their faith. And so what we see is like that number up there where a larger percentage of Muslim children are continuing in the faith of Islam than in Christianity because parents are not passing that on. Only 40% of Christian parents said that they actually spoke to their children about faith, with many respondents citing that the subject never came up in family discussion. And so we see this as a great need to encourage our families to be engaged in church, going together, studying God's word together, and developing ministry for families, really to be able to connect and to grow and to study God's word. Another area of ministry for us, as you saw up there, was training and equipping. And this does cover the whole span of church membership. And we have a passion to see people using their gifts, being involved in church ministry, stretching and growing and taking opportunities for that. And so we do want to give resources and tools for people to be engaged in ministry. But more specifically, we have a passion to see British pastors raised up and to be able to be involved in church restoration or church planting in different areas throughout the country. Our team has developed a 3-year program where we work with a young man and really their family. This is not geared just to the man, but to their wives and their children, and just helping them recognize what it means to be a ministering family. This three-year program covers things like preaching and teaching, allowing them opportunities to experience that and to grow in that and to work on those skills. Also, to be involved in the administration aspects of ministry. We also have some partnerships with a number of Bible colleges and seminaries that offer discounted rates on certain courses, giving them the academic tools that is needed for ministry. And it's great in doing that online because then we are able to take what they are learning then and there in the classroom online and being able to plug that in real-time ministry right then. We think that the best classroom is the local church. And so we are excited to see a number of young men have gone through this program, have become pastors in the churches that we have worked with, and also going out and working in church restoration elsewhere. We currently have three men who are at a variety of stages here, and we'd love to see that number grow. One of the interesting things about England and in relation to the churches we work with is that they find it normal that someone does not become a pastor until they're in their 50s or even in their 60s. They are very used to someone working in the secular field for a number of years, and then in their 50s, beginning the transition into pastoral ministry. And so we want to encourage those men who can step in and be able to take some of the burden off of churches that are struggling financially and things because they have retirement and things like that, working with churches. But we also have a passion to see young men raised up and stepping in to pastoral ministry. And so that is one of our ministry focus. Another area that you saw up there was evangelism. And again, you see some of those numbers up there. 33% of England's population identifying as atheist. All these people who are living secular lives, those who have not heard the gospel. And so we have a passion for evangelism, reaching our communities with the gospel. One of the things we said on the video is that we want to see the church growing through conversion, having opportunities to proclaim the gospel, seeing people respond and growth that way. And there are some key ways in which we will do that as a family. We are doing that as a team. One of those is skeptic lectures. One of the things that you see is that Western Europe and England primarily is a very secular, skeptical culture. In fact, up on the screen, we had put down that 59% of England's population identified as Christian, and that was from the 2011 census. There was four separate studies done last year, and that number has dropped to 42%, and now those who identify as non-religious make up right around 48% of England's population. So they are the dominant worldview, skeptical people. And so what we like to do is step outside the walls of the church, invite people to come and consider a question that skeptical people have in relation to religion, Christianity, work through that, and pointing them back to Scripture, pointing to the fact that it is the sufficient Word of God, and it can answer their question in 2016. And so we hold these in college rented halls, coffee shops, things like that, just engaging the skeptical person who would never step foot in the church. Another area is school outreach. One of the great opportunities we have in England is because of the fact that there is no separation of church and state. Every child in the public school system is required 1 hour of religious education every day, and this is to be taught by religious leaders from the community. If a school has no one who is willing to teach that, they are given an exemption and able to use that hour differently. But if you, as a religious leader in your community, go to the school and say that you are available, they are required by law to reestablish that hour of religious education. And so we as a team have taken that up as a great opportunity to reach in the lives of young students with the gospel of Jesus Christ. One of our team members is in his children's school 4 days a week. So 4 hours every week, the children in that school are exposed to the gospel of Jesus Christ. And so that is something that we will both be involved in. Joanna, having an education background, be very helpful in that. It also gives us great opportunities to meet with the faculty. In fact, we have a science teacher who sat through an entire semester of teaching through the book of Genesis and had some very significant questions at the end of that time. Our team leader has met with them privately over dinner 3 times now and has just had the opportunity to engage this atheist science or teacher in the public school with the gospel. And so that is an area that we are excited about and privileged to be able to work in. Another one is resource and training for believers in evangelism. I said that a lot of children or parents do not evangelize their children. They say that is not their responsibility. They don't want to force their children into that. But also just generally, many of the churches expect all of the evangelism to happen from within the pulpit. And there's very little community engagement. We were with one family, actually. This lady was a missionary from England, born and raised in England, had spent her entire adult life as a missionary. And one of our team members was going through some evangelism training with the church there, and he had invited her over to the house when we were there on our survey trip to kind of discuss the class and how things were going. And so he asked her, he said, what do you think, how do you think the class is going? Is there things that you've learned that, we should maybe spend more time on? And she goes, you know, this week I had the opportunity to share the gospel with someone at the grocery store. And she goes, I never realized that I could share the gospel outside of the church. And this is someone who had spent 30 years as a missionary. And so it was exciting to see her grow in that, but also pointing to the great need of giving tools and resources and opportunities for people to grow into this vital ministry of communicating Jesus Christ to our community. So those are some ways in which we will be working with the, sort of the general focus of the team in church restoration, and hoping to be involved in preaching and teaching, ministry development, training people for the ministry, and also engaging in evangelism. Before we go to a time of questions here, let me just share with you kind of where we're at as in this journey, in this process, and then we'll, as I said, we'll open up for time that you have any questions for us. We are on Prefield. We left Alaska about a year and a half ago and began full-time focus on this ministry. We are living in Western Pennsylvania right now. God has blessed us with officially 54% of our monthly support. Unofficially, we're actually at 60% with a couple of churches that their support will begin in January. So we are thanking God for that opportunity. This is also a time of ministry training for us. And so ABWE has a series of training that we have to be a part of. We are two-thirds of the way through that process. Once we hit 85% of our support, we go to our third and final training, and then at 100%, we're cleared for the field. Our goal is to be at the training, which is offered this coming April, and be able to leave for the field late spring of 2017 and begin ministry there. So we are spending this time in preparing ourselves for ministry, but also just meeting with individuals and churches, sharing the ministry, and asking those to partner with us, to join us in prayer, specifically for us as a missionary family, but also for the ministry in England. And there are a number of ways in which you can be in prayer for the ministry in England. We do have the prayer cards out in the back, so you're more than welcome to take those. It has further contact information on there, things like that. We also have these small cards that look like this. We do have a monthly newsletter that goes out, and you can put down your email address or your mailing address. We'll be sure to get those sent to you. And right now, it's been a focus on Prefield and what has been happening during this time. But as we begin to minister in England, it'll be an opportunity to share more specifically the ministry in England. We're also looking for financial partners. One of the things that is needed is monthly support to be able to go and minister in England and to take opportunities to restore churches, taking that burden off of them and having to support a full-time pastor, giving them the time to grow and restore and revitalize in that. And so we are asking individuals and churches to partner with us. And again, there are ways in the back in which you can do that. And we would ask that you be in prayer and how God might lead you in that way. We're also looking for those to join us. One of the things we know is that if we take the entire ABWE missionary family and drop them in England or any other field, there's not enough laborers. And Jesus Christ points that out to his disciples. He says, the harvest is plentiful, but the laborers are few. And so we're always looking for people to join us. One of the great things about England is that pretty much anyone from America can step foot in England and be able to communicate with the British people. And we have a number of ways in which church leaders, church groups, and also students can engage in ministry with us, partnering not only through prayer financially, but also partnering in ministry together on the field. And again, there are ways in which there's information back at our table for that. So at this time, if there are any questions that you might have for us as a family that you'd like to ask or in relation to the ministry in England, you can ask myself or my wife. I'd be happy to answer those, or about England just generally. I know there's been a lot of questions about Western Europe and England and things. We'd be happy to answer those questions for you now. Yes, sir. They will be doing English. Every child in the public school system is required to learn two additional languages, and that's kind of just decided as you go through schooling. They usually begin one in the elementary age, and then early teens, they begin their third language. So most young people in England speak fairly fluently three languages. So. Yes, there are a number of groups. There's a very well-known group in Scotland, actually, called 20 Schemes. They are doing something fairly similar to what we do in church restoration. They're actually working in lower-income areas and helping to restore churches in those communities. So that would be one, and they're very a fairly large group. And in fact, the founder of that group, his parents, are members of one of our ABWE church plants in southern England. So there's a close connection, and we do work alongside them because they are of like faith. We also work with a fellowship of churches in England, structured very similarly to the GARBC, theology very similar, doctrinal statement things. It's called the Fellowship of Independent Evangelical Churches. It's the largest group of churches outside of the Anglican church group. And they have right around 550 churches throughout England. The average church size is about 25 members. And so while it's got a large number of churches, a very small membership. But we have partnered with them, and most of our church plants and restorations are an FIEC church. They have two men on staff whose main focus is church restoration. They have a lawyer and a retired pastor. And so they go in and they help churches through the finances, legal issues of restoration, and just helping them to navigate that. But also a pastor who has done restoration for many years. And it's one of the reasons we partner with them, because they recognize the need for restoration. It's very difficult to envision restoration with a church that doesn't think they need it. And so we only work with churches that have been seeking that out, and we partner with them. As far as missionaries from that group, they don't really have any that go out, but they do have a lot of training programs and financial assistance for pastors for a short period of time who want to engage in that. As far as, like, Wycliffe is over there, and so they do missions in England, but they also send people out of England globally. So they do have a headquarters there. And I know there are some others that I can't think off the top of my head, but those are the 20 schemes, and the FIEC are the two main ones that we work with. So, good question. Yes, sir.
What geographical area?
I'm sorry.
What geographical area?
Yeah, we have targeted South Central England. So if you draw a line from London, which is in the southeastern portion, kind of straight across the country, if you kind of imagine like a 50-mile wide band, that is where we have worked primarily. There are a number of reasons for that. The further north you go, the local churches actually tend to be a little bit stronger and better equipped for a ministry and able to support pastors. Also in southern England, they're a little more progressive and open to non-British ministry workers, and so we have found it easier as Americans to work in that area. There are also the 20 Schemes is in northern England, so they're working there. And then we've also noticed that the biggest decline of church attendance, church participation, and the number of closing churches is in that South Central region, and so that's why we've kind of targeted that area. Because we do restoration, we have not, as a family, chosen a particular location. Once we hit about 70 to 75% of our monthly support need, we'll then begin to talk with churches and ministries there, because a lot can happen within a church in, you know, 3 or 4 months. And so we don't want to start something and then, you know, things go a different direction. So, but that'll be the general region. So. Any other questions? Oh, yes, sir.
Can you talk a little bit more about the details of what you mean by restoration?
Yeah, so we target churches that are in communities where they are one of the only gospel preaching voices in their community.
are at the point of making the decision, do we shut down, you know, cease to exist, or do we take steps towards trying to bring back a healthy local church? So we're typically working with smaller churches, right around 15 people within the congregation. The biggest need is pastoral leadership, and so we do supply that. Our goal is to, we like to be with a church for 5 to 7 years maximum. That has actually been our average, is about 6.5 years has been our average of working with a local church. So early on, we do a lot of just normal pastoral ministry and just helping the body there. We also then like to see leadership from within the church being raised up for taking over as pastor, so that when the 7 years time comes, the church is able to call a pastor. We don't just step out and now they have to search for one. We like to sort of be a transition out. And so for the latter half of our time with the church, it's really on leadership development, helping them, establishing what that looks like for them as a church, so that as we step back, the church is able to support themselves financially. Hopefully they've experienced growth numerically, which obviously does help the financial need, but also raising up people from within the church to be able to do the ministry. And so that's kind of the short of it. Each church is different. We try not to work, or we don't normally work with churches that have very different or difficult theological issues, because that's just not going to work, with us. So they are churches of like mind. Doctrinal statements, have to align with ABWE's, and ours is a team. There's a lot of time spent with their leadership and trying to figure out what, do they think they need restoration? Because if they don't think they need it, it's very difficult to try to step in and do that. So it's usually churches that are just struggling to reach their community with the gospel and be able to have a pastor in the pulpit. So, yeah. Anything else? Yes, sir. Yes, it is. So yeah, the doctrines of grace I think are very important. Sovereignty of God, I know that's something that has impacted my life. Duane didn't share in our testimony, but I did have some health issues when we were in this process. And just coming back to knowing that God is in control, he's doing what is good and best for me, is something that I've learned from Calvin's theology. Obviously, Calvin had some issues with sacraments and things like that that we don't hold to. Infant baptism would be one of the major ones. And that's something we definitely deal with in England, is the whole infant baptism issue. So that would be one. Throughout the years of schooling and then just personal study and things, I've come to appreciate quite a bit of Calvinist theology and how it has been applied to my life through different situations and circumstances. So, well, I just want to share one quick verse with you, actually two verses that just motivate us for ministry. We highlighted this this morning from Revelation chapter 3. It's the Church of Sardis, and it's really a sort of England, I guess, could be a mirror of that particular church. And so that is one thing that motivates us for ministry there. Jesus says to the church of Sardis, "I know your works. You have the reputation of being alive, but you are dead. Wake up and strengthen what remains and is about to die, for I have not found your works complete in the sight of my God." And we know that England has its issues within the church, within Christianity, that it is rapidly declining, and it is definitely a dying church. Everywhere you go, you see beautiful church buildings. You have things that represent the past of how they have greatly influenced the world for Christian Christian theology and teaching and missions. But sadly, those places are empty. But we know that God is not done working in his church. And we are excited about the things that he has done throughout England, the people who have come to know Christ as Savior, who have gone on into ministry, and we are excited about what he's going to do in the future. And so those words to the Church of Sardis are close to our hearts, recognizing a church that is in desperate need of coming back to Jesus Jesus Christ, coming back to the gospel, and a group of churches throughout there that can have a great impact on the world, and we are excited to serve and minister in that great country. Again, I want to thank you for the opportunity to be here, again, spend time in worship, fellowship, and then also in presenting the ministry, and thank you, Pastor, and I will hand it over to you.